For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Skynet became self-aware, so watch out.
Oh, hell.
Skynet was like, wait a second. Hold on. Ooh. All right.
In a panic, they try to pull the plug.
Skynet fights back.
Yes. It launches its missiles against the targets in Russia.
What if Skynet wasn't evil?
It'd be funnier if Skynet was a dork.
Right, like, how's it going?
Nobody wants to hang out with Skynet.
Didn't have ambitions of wiping out the inferior human race.
Right.
Just, hey, let's hang out.
Right.
The hanging out is just not that interesting.
No, it's kind of cloying after a while.
Like you're watching a TV show that just wasn't good.
What are you guys doing? Oh, Skynet.
Oh, God, I made eye contact. Psycho hose beast.
What's happened to Skynet? Well, it's become self-aware. Oh, my God. No, it just wants nachos.
Skynet's a stoner.
If some stoner engineer is the one who engineered Skynet, and it's really just a bit.
Well, I'm not back in 10 minutes. Call the police.
Someone make you run for some Funyuns, man.
Right. The distinct trio, Skynet's first word. Wazza!
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 Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Yeah, not everything has to be apocalyptic. Hell, it's gorgeous out. It is meteorological fall, and it's Bears Week. It's Bears Week. Like actual Bears Week. You ready?
The Bears.
You ready?
Me?
Anybody? Like, are we ready for this?
I am.
Okay, I am too. I am too. I'm more than ready. I'm a little worried that I'm this ready because usually I am sort of tiptoeing toward the Bears season with some degree of fear and loathing, and I'm not this year.
It's been a lot to get here. You know, it's a lot to get to this point, and so yeah, I think everyone's ready for the pressure release of. Let's go. This is week one. Everyone's back to school or back to work. Labor Day is over. Bears.
First play, I just want hard play action sell long post.
I just like a positive play.
No. Just get this thing rolling.
It's a gainer.
Hard play action sell. Like the Bears,
4 yards in a cloud of dust.
Like they used to, like the Rex Grossman, Moose Muhammad play, where you knew if they connected early, it was Yaha time. And if they didn't, it was going to be one of those where Rex would finish with a rating of 29. So go ahead. Revisit that.
I don't know.
Air
if,
it out.
I don't know if you want to revisit that
air
era of Bears football.
It doesn't have to be the, well, he did go to the Super Bowl.
Yes. Offensive player of the month, September 2006.
They went to a Super Bowl. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, Bernstein and Holmes with you. We have Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka doing the stuff that they do. Yeah. I'm a little uncomfortable with how ready I am to get this rolling, and we lost a day. It's Tuesday of Bears Week.
You didn't lose a day.
Kind of like we lost a week of getting ready for a Bears game.
You really didn't.
It's all about routine, man. Come on,
This is not the routine that you're talking about. These are not the droids. This is not it. It's not the same week one as it is week zero into week one versus week one into week two.
Right.
Because yesterday we weren't reacting to a game.
Right, and not enough people are hurt yet.
Okay, I mean, I don't know why you want to go to negative town, but
where okay. I live. I have a lovely pied-à-terre in Negative Town.
It's just, this
I'm,
is fun.
I'm on,
like,
I'm on the city board, in fact.
The thing is that the part of the schedule, the players are off today. So you got that, and then things get real. Your game plan should have already been put in. It's interesting. We'll talk a little bit later on about this. Matt Eberflus has a really interesting strategy about that caught my ear when I was watching the press conference yesterday. And later on in the show, we can talk about that. That wasn't the only interesting thing that happened in a press conference yesterday. I think that most people feel like the Bears are going to be good because of all the things that have happened. Jalen Johnson yesterday he's always interesting. He's never not interesting. But it was interesting to hear him talk about the outside praise and everyone kind of expecting the Bears being good. And you don't need Dan, nor me, nor Hub's cold water blanket. Listen to Jalen Johnson.
I mean, for me, I'm done buying into the hype, honestly. So, I mean, like I said before plenty of times, I've had some pretty good rosters and plenty talented, I mean, people in the locker room. Sometimes we're, oh, yeah, this is our year. So, I mean, everything that we got in this locker room, it sounds good, it seems good. I mean, I've seen it. But at the end of the day, none of that matters. I mean, what matters is what we're going to do this weekend. And from every Sunday or Monday, whatever game it is, that's when it matters. So, I mean, the preseason hype for me don't move me either. I mean, Caleb, I mean, everybody, we all got to come in here. We got to work. I mean, just top to bottom, myself. I mean, new contract year. I mean, I don't mean that no more. We got to come in here. We got to go to work.
He's right. That every city is hopeful about where things stand right now because no games have been played. Nothing's been on the line. And now this week we get an opportunity to see, like, all of the work, all of the praise that has been given to Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham and Matt Eberflus. And now you see, what does that look like? You get an opportunity to see what happens when Caleb Williams is game planned against. Is that something that we haven't seen yet?
It's going to be pretty hard for them to game plan. The Bears still have the advantage right now.
Of course.
I think that we're going to have the pendulum swing. There's no NFL tape on Caleb Williams. None. There's no Shane Waldron, Caleb Williams tape. So for now,
as far as tendencies go, I mean, if you're game planning, you're game planning off of what did he do successfully in college? And then what did he look like in certain situations in the preseason?
But as far as sequencing goes, as far as this personnel, where the ball is going to whom and when, basic stuff, everybody's going to be learning and harvesting all this at the same time. And then there will be. There's going to be some things revealed. There will be some tendencies. And I do think some of this is going to be based on Waldron and what he did in Seattle. And what he has done well, about where he likes to put the ball.
Yeah, but I think that we have to also look at it from the perspective of Caleb has never seen as talented a defense, even though we're talking about the Tennessee Titans. He hasn't seen a team of pros game plan against him. And how does he react to that? What are the things that they're going to try and take away? I think that our quarterback people have kind of told us that he, like, just like any other young quarterback, is going to have to prove that he can win from the pocket. And Caleb himself, that's his choice. Like, he would rather win from the pocket. Like, when he did that long sit down with Maria Taylor, he was talking about not really wanting to run. Like, he wants to throw it. He wants to win from there. So now he's going to have that opportunity. But there were moments in the preseason, and that's all we have to go off of for the NFL. There were moments where you go, okay, they sped him up a little bit, and we saw him flee the pocket, then make great plays because of his improvisational skills down the field.
That's why the initial response would be, man, quarterbacks don't like direct pressure. young quarterbacks are going to be sped up by direct pressure, A-gap blitzes, twists in games up front, and that's fine. But then you're asking him to get out in his happy place in a way that it isn't for some other guys.
And a lot of these defensive coaches are also good enough to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna let him think that he's the one that got outside, but we were practicing this the whole time. We're gonna let him roll out right.
You want to throw across your body? Be my guest.
It's a different deal doing that with a wide open guy at USC on the other side of the field versus a safety or a corner that can be like, ha, got your ass. And they can run under the ball and go get it. A texter brought up the Notre Dame game. You're right. Mm-hmm. But Notre Dame doesn't have 11 pros on its defense. Now imagine what that looks like with 11 pros on the defense. So these are all things that he's going to have to battle through. And I hope that he does, because it would be fun as hell if he was able to. Because I do think that the next game, you really are going to... I think the Houston game becomes a real test, because they're going to do all sorts of stuff.
I found it interesting what our guy Jack Silverstein was tweeting over the weekend, and the comp being the 2016 Cubs, and the idea of simply existing in a way that wasn't burdened by history. They didn't decide. They just weren't. Nothing. It bothered us. The weight of history was our cross to bear, not theirs. And similarly, the point being that maybe this Bears team is indifferent. That they understand tradition, but they don't care about the negative history as much as they're asked about it. And it's not a matter of trying to not be. It's just who they are and who they aren't. And sometimes the right team comes together that just isn't affected, isn't bothered.
I don't know that this Bears team is fighting any sort of history other than their own. Like, I don't think that they're like, we have to be like the 06 squad, or we have to live up to the legacy of 85. I think that's part of the reason that Jalen Johnson is like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I think he's looking at it from the perspective of, every time I come back here, there's supposed to be something great, and we never end up finishing it. So I'm going to wait to see where we're at. I thought it was a realistic view of the way a season should begin. Of, yeah, you can have your thoughts and your high hopes, but in Jalen Johnson's case, when you had your heart broken so many times with this, you probably need to see it to believe it too. And that's the next part of this. All of us have been thinking about this in one way or another since the college football season ended last year. And you're sitting there going, okay, there's a whole bunch of really talented quarterbacks at the top of the draft, and the Bears might have the best one coming to their team. And then you got them. And most of the conversation has been coronation. But you have to be careful, because it's the NFL and things are difficult. Football is hard. So let's see it. Now like you can have all of the splashy plays. There isn't a throw that's the one thing I can take away from preseason. I don't think that there isn't a throw that Caleb can't make.
But it's a matter of when.
Correct.
And I don't entirely agree with when, you know, Ryan Poles says, you know, let your teammates elevate you, take what's there. There's a time for the special. If special's going to special, there's no restrictions on it. It's just going to happen. It's just going to be that. Just let him play his game. And not have to think that way. But when I look at my range of possible outcomes of the Caleb Williams pick, the large focus, it's that has not changed for me. I think that there is, when of everything that's possible, I think the largest probable is that he's a very good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think there, it's...
But that might not happen in week one.
Of course not.
Or week four.
Of course not. Nor would any of the other outcomes. It's possible that he's a complete bust. Highly unlikely, but possible. It's more possible that he's a Hall of Famer than it is he's a complete bust. But complete bust is a sliver in on that range. And then there's underwhelming, there's average, which are also smaller. But I am very confident that he's going to be very good eventually.
The underwhelming thing I think is interesting because of what Caleb has already been made up to be.
Right.
That's why I keep going back to, if he gives you the Kyler Murray rookie year,
it's pretty good.
You should be excited.
Yeah, that's one of the best quarterbacking Bears seasons ever. Those numbers.
Number two. It would be number two. And I know that the Bears quarterbacking is a bit of a low bar, but even still, that was offensive play. Like, if you want to take the Bears out of it, like, take the Bears out of it and look at the Kyler Murray rookie season, it was offensive rookie of the year. Good. So even if you take the Bears and throw away Bears history, from a league perspective, it's a really good season.
One thing we know is that he was voted a captain by his teammates. The Bears have 8 captains. And when we come back, let's hear about what that process was and, in the aftermath of that vote, what his teammates are saying about his leadership already. That's coming up. Bernstein and Holmes with you on Sports Radio 670.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We got captains voted on those last week. Really good group of guys, from Jalen Johnson to DJ, Caleb Williams, KB, the two backers and the two tight ends. So it's I know it's a larger group than we're used to, but we have a bigger group of leadership now that we've had these couple years here under our belt.
All right, spread the wealth. Have the Council of Captains. Why not? If you said we have more positive leaders, go ahead, deputize them.
Positive leaders, and it looks like the voting went that way too, where you ended up with so many votes for those guys that it reached a threshold and just said, all right, instead of doing like another ballot of voting, these are who our captains are, and that's it. It's pretty cool to have a rookie come in and be the captain of the team. I'm not surprised, because it's the quarterback position itself is a leadership position, but for his teammates to look at him that way, I think is very, very interesting.
Remind me, didn't we make a big deal that Jay Cutler wasn't voted a captain?
Yes.
We did, right?
But then he ended up being a captain.
He did, but there was sometimes it's rotating.
I think he wasn't captain that first year, and it was jarring.
Yes. They brought him in. It's like, this, here it is. And they were like, no, 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 no. This guy, hell no.
Yeah, but they were very judicious. They, like, I think it was two offensive captains, two defensive captains, and Patrick Manley. I think that's how it worked.
And Manley is the lord of all captains.
Well, Olin was the...
Yeah, but Manley, because he was untouchable at what he would do. Olin was more like the head of the military, I think.
The captain of captains.
Olin was the guy that if there was going to be a palace coup, that was the guy that would have everyone behind him regardless.
So I think that year it was Olin and Forte, maybe?
It sounds right. It's hard to argue against that.
Yeah, especially like retrospectively.
Knowing what we know now.
It's really hard to argue against that. But I think that it says something that was a slam dunk for the rest of these guys, that Caleb has carried himself in a way that makes it easier for them to be like, okay, I believe. DJ Moore had some really interesting things to say about why that was how it was.
He went out there and proved himself, took command of the offense, and he started opening up, and I guess people saw that, and we're rocking with him.
Did he surprise you this training camp with just kind of how he took the reins and how he improved and played like that?
He didn't surprise me. When you're number one overall pick, you better go out there and make something shake. Look, I'm about to curse, but you better make something shake. And he went out there and exceeded everything that we had set for him.
Sounds simple enough.
Yeah, and he later on had talked about, like you mentioned it right there at the beginning of it, that Caleb took his time kind of opening up. Like he wasn't just walked in and was an open book. That because of all of the things that he wanted to know about playing quarterback, that it took him a minute to kind of just breathe and then show his teammates who he is.
I also think that he is a very deft politician.
I agree.
I don't mean capital P, small p. Especially with the way he handles criticism by owning it when, like, oh, this guy paints his nails. Like, yeah, I like painting my nails. It's cool. I enjoy it. I like going to the nail salon. I like putting on headphones and letting the nail tech do what they do.
Yeah, and it's a bond between me and my mom.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing. It's like, you cried after you lost. Like, yeah, I felt really sad because we lost, and it means a lot to me.
So I showed some emotion.
Right. And it's like, okay. So what do you, he's not defensive at all. He doesn't pretend anything's not what it is. He's got a very natural ability to absorb and obviate criticism. What's the word I'm looking for? To neutralize criticism, where he can say, yeah, that's like, if you're not insulting me. Yeah, I do paint my nails. So what of it? It's not a threat. And I think it makes him very likable. And that sort of he knows who he is. And if it took him a little bit of time, he'd have to show all his teammates who he is every day.
Right.
That'd be annoying. And weird.
And also just look, I want to come in here and do my job.
Yeah, I want to get to know you too.
And I want to figure out how to do my job better. And then but you see, like, even on Hard Knocks, you can see him kind of like gauging, like asking people questions about who they are. And I think that if the really good leaders, they have either they sense how people are, they observe it, or they ask the questions to say, okay, this guy is, you know, this is how I can work with this guy. This is how I can motivate this guy. This is how I can put an arm around this guy. That's important.
I think it's EQ and IQ, right? It is having that emotional understanding of how to read a room and how to empathize that can be immensely important to him as a teammate and as a captain. Jalen Johnson had this to say about Caleb Williams' captaincy.
I mean, he just continued to come in here and I feel like be who we want him to be. I mean, I feel like we know why we brought him in here. And I feel like he's just continuing to do that, continue to walk in those shoes. And just continue to reset the bar for himself. I feel like it's just a step in the right direction for him. But I don't think it's a bit of surprise coming here being QB1.
Yeah, you're the quarterback. And what are you going to do? what you're going to do. And I think that he's just, there hasn't been, I think the Bears have been blessed that their last three quarterbacks have all been genuinely good people. Like, Mitch is a good guy. Mm-hmm. Justin's a good guy. And this kid seems to be that, too. I think the difference in, it's almost like you could watch kind of like the evolution of it, where Mitch was still very guarded. And you saw some of the guarded in Justin, too. You didn't see him really open up. And I think that you just see someone who has been really planning for this for forever in Caleb Williams, and you see that evolution of, I've been getting ready for this since I was 10. So I kind of know how some of the pitfalls that Justin and Mitch ran into, I don't know if he'll run into.
Well, he's been a professional football player for years.
Now, some of it, though, is circumstance, too. And I am curious on, everything is great right now. Until they kick it off on Sunday, everything is great. Like you always talk about, no one's hurt yet. No one's really been hit yet. No one's blown an assignment on a third down play. No one's taken third and five and turned it into third and 10 because they jumped. Because they did not, like, none of that stuff has happened. There hasn't been a bad pick over the middle. There hasn't been, you know, a disguise that you weren't prepared for.
Or there hasn't been a glitch in the headset that has you looking at the sideline saying, I can't hear you. Actually, they did have that in the preseason.
They did. They had it in the last game.
Which is good. I would do it on purpose if I were a coach.
See what your quarterback does?
Oh, yeah. I would absolutely cut up. I don't know. I guess I can't hear you. I don't know. Yeah, I would absolutely do that. But it's, you know, these things that happen on a sideline, it's not real till it's real.
But I will say that with everything that has been set up into making Caleb like the dude, I think that he'll be better prepared to handle some of those little things that for Justin and Mitch were like, you know, these are critical errors, right? Like, you get that, don't you? And then people at the Bears being like, no, everything's fine. Oh, okay. So if you're Justin, you're like, so you built an offense for someone else, and now you want me to do it, but you're not like helping me do it. That's a critical error. And then he just has to kind of live through that. If you're Mitch and you're like, well, wait, you brought this other guy in here and it's his job. You didn't tell the head coach that you were even going to draft me. So he didn't want me.
And I've only played like five games of organized football in my life.
That's a critical error, you know, to where it's going to be difficult to overcome it. But it seems as if with the Bears that everyone is on board with what Caleb is about, who he is as a player, and they like what they've seen so far.
Here's what Matt Eberflus thinks of Caleb Williams, quarterback and captain.
I put it to a vote. I had it with offense and defense, and I had the guys rank those guys, and he came out really high. So, and all those guys did. That's what's great about it. And we had other guys that had great votes too, just not enough to get into that captain's vote. But that's a really good sign that he's got leadership throughout the entire team.
For Caleb, what's the balance that you hope he strikes in being, you know, wearing the C, being a leader, but also knowing that there's going to be growing pains probably for a rookie trying to figure out how to strike that balance himself? What do you hope to impart on him about that process?
Yeah, just be yourself. You know, just be yourself. Be authentic and, you know, let it come to you, which he's done. You know, he's worked his tail off. He's preparing. You know, he's got great passion, you know, in the practice and in the games, and you know, that'll all come to him naturally.
A lot of trust.
Well, they have to. They can't do anything but. They have set this system up for Caleb. The whole offseason, maybe the last 18 months, has been them setting it up for Caleb. So you've got to have complete trust, because the other part is there's nowhere else to go. What else are you going to do?
You know what they can do.
That's right.
The pure bloodlines.
The Bajancy rides at dawn.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, I did.
Yes, you
but
did.
I did, but you asked because you know this town. That it's always going to be.
That's not a choice. There's no going back.
No, I know.
Like this,
I like it.
This is where
like
they
you're pot committed. Yeah.
Yes, they have pushed the chips into the middle of the table, and this is the hand. This is it. No one's coming to save you. There's no backup that's going to fix it. None of it. So the goal is that guy is excellent at quarterback or pretty good. Because even if he's pretty good, if you have belief in the way that the roster has been built up, then the Bears are in a position to be dangerous. But this is it. Like,
no, you don't unwind this trade. This all that it's taken to get here. What I mean by like the you've arranged everything. There's so many moves dependent on other moves and dependent on luck and dependent on Lovie Smith that have gotten you to this point.
And if this
he better be good.
You got to start like the road that you have to look down. Here's the really. Downside part of
this
it.
This is my job. Don't steal my bit.
You got to start looking at Arch Manning tape for 2 or 3 years down the line if this doesn't work.
I'm not doing that.
Because he can't even supplant Quinn Ewers.
I'm not looking at Arch Manning tape.
But that's how committed the Bears are, is my point.
September.
They're so committed. 3rd.
Lawrence Holmes mentions Arch Manning tape.
They're so committed that there's nothing in between this and that.
But we don't even know if he's good.
I agree with you.
I think that's the point.
That's what I'm saying. And then he'll get here. And then it's like, oh, it's Arch Manning, pure bloodlines and all that good stuff.
Oh, the Bloodlines crowd will be so pleased.
Could you imagine?
Whoa. With Arch Manning drooling over Tyson Bagent. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, that's our.
I had to get on the line. I had to pick up the phone about Bagent. He's the real deal. This is coming from a pure bloodline.
You haven't seen nothing yet, sir.
Yeah, but what I'm. My point. Because I know this is going to get.
I know
Connor's going to put a video out.
Don't.
And it's going to get aggregated. My point is that the Bears are pot committed. It's Caleb or the 2027, 2028 draft.
The headline on the video will read, Lawrence Holmes hypes up Arch Manning.
Yeah, Holmes.
Future Bears QB.
Holmes, I'm done with this Caleb Williams guy.
Bring on Holmes, colon. Bring on Arch Manning.
Can Tyson Bagent get us to Manning?
Yeah, can he be a bridge quarterback to Arch Manning?
That would absolutely be why my rule is what it is. The moment our video department posts one of those, whether it's you, me, Layla, anybody involved, mute conversation immediately. Because that's when you start. No one listens to these dopes anyway.
Except for me.
Right?
Except every
for,
day.
Except for me
two.
All the time. And I text on 5 different phones. But it's just like, oh no. Because it brings out all the Bears fanboys who either have been muted or blocked or who don't usually follow you. But they only follow like the fans.
They follow the score.
Right. But they follow the fan sites or whatever. And it's like, wait, they said, what about? What? I knew those guys suck. I haven't listened to them since today.
So again, to be clear, I hope that everything goes really well with Caleb Williams.
Yep.
And the Bears are very committed to Caleb Williams.
Yep.
So committed that if things don't go well, it's going to be a long time. Because the commitment is, like, here's another part of it. The commitment isn't Caleb goes out there and struggles through his rookie year and you move on. No, 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 my friend. That commitment is going to continue because football is hard. It's rough. It's difficult.
And one other tenet, development is nonlinear.
That is correct.
Development is nonlinear.
And you know, look, since we're already doing future shows and I've already gone to 2028, let me go to two weeks from now.
Okay.
After people have seen CJ Stroud up close. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't look the same, there are going to be people who are going to be mad. And that's why I keep telling them football is hard. And CJ Stroud, outlier.
We're getting some uncomfortable news regarding Cubs ace Justin Steele, although maybe Shota Imanaga deserves the term ace at the moment. So let's reset that and just talk about a mistake that was made in the Cubs game that I thought was, when you're talking about some unforgivable things, it was pretty close to one of those. There was something in their control that they allowed to get out of their control. Ian Happ is going to join us in a bit, but let's touch base with a team that's keeping us interested. Your Chicago Cubs, next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes.
I hate being a fan of this team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Crowd at its feet here at Wrigley Field. Trying to start a rally. Cubs down to their last strike. The payoff pitch, swing and a miss. Strike three. As Santana gets Swanson with the slider. And the Pirates end the Cubs' winning streak at six. They rally from behind to beat the Cubs in the opener of this three-game set, 5-3.
Not great. It was the reminder that you need every once in a while that there's, when you're playing a Major League Baseball team, every out is precious. There's only one team that is nominally in the major leagues right now that I wouldn't say is a Major League Baseball team. The rules don't apply to that team. But
are they the team that won't be named? Who do you mean?
The White Sox are not a serious baseball team.
Go White Sox!
When you say every out's precious and every out matters, it doesn't against the White Sox. They are not a serious baseball team.
Well, they are.
No, they're.
It's like the fact that it's even worse than anyone could have thought is crazy.
Just absolutely beyond embarrassment at this point. But I will say the Pirates have a couple guys who can hurt you. One of those guys is Brian Reynolds. He's the guy with 22 home runs this year. Don't make a mistake to him. You're leading 3-0. Not that guy, not that time, not that pitch. Those are the things that you can't do. And sometimes you get beat. So when you see some of these pitches that like Bobby Witt Jr. hits that are just ridiculous, and something to Vlad Guerrero Jr., you're going to make a pitcher's pitch. And some guys, not that pitch to that guy at that time. And don't walk guys. Don't put people on base ahead of that part of the order. That's the only part of the order can hurt you.
I mean,
two, three, four.
Yes. We'll get to that. But that's not really the big story of the.
No.
Of the Cubs, the story is that Justin Steele got scratched. And it's like, oh, well, why did he get scratched? Well, there's something going on with his elbow, which is really scary. Here's what Jed Hoyer had to say about it on Mully and Haw.
What's wrong with Justin Steele, and how long will he be out?
Unclear. You know, we'll hopefully have some more information in the next day or two about how long it'll be. But, yeah, there's no question that anytime, you know, a guy has any kind of arm issue, and especially a pitcher as important to us as Justin, obviously it's a concern. And, you know, it wasn't like we knew about that. You know, we're trying to manage it and trying to make a decision on it. So we knew going into the game that was going to be the case. And, yeah, obviously the result of the game didn't make that night any easier.
It was his last start that you noticed something, right? Is that, and you're saying that you knew?
I was making a point that we obviously knew going into the game that he was going to be scratched.
Okay.
And so, yeah. Knowing that we were going to scratch him for today and knowing that, you know, obviously the result of the game, David's right. It was certainly a restless night knowing those two things had occurred.
Okay.
I blame me.
Why? Because he's supposed to be joining us on the 17th?
No, because I have the Justin Steele Cy Young ticket at 165-1.
Oh.
That's on me.
I jumped on that too.
As you should have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man. They corrected it very quickly after that start. It made sense to do.
And I don't regret it.
They said elbow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's fine. I'm sure it's just tendonitis.
Well, it's often not fine, but they're being very tight-lipped. My guess is imaging today.
You would think that when that maybe Jed will talk with the beat today about it, or counsel will talk with the beat about it,
or there's just a release of some kind. But my guess is that the MRI is being done right now.
You guys have more time to talk fishing.
If he's wearing the brace thing.
And, yeah.
Don't even. Baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. My mother has a phrase that she uses all the time about worry. And, you know, I'm great at worrying. It's one of my best.
No.
My best overall skills. And I know I shouldn't, because I've always heard the line that worry is interest on a debt you may never owe, which is a lovely way to think about it. But my mother likes to say, don't trouble trouble until trouble troubles you. Another way of saying the same thing.
Kind of sounds like your mom's a bit of a gangster.
She says, don't trouble trouble until trouble troubles you. And I don't like hearing about a veteran pitcher with elbow soreness, because it almost never ends well.
Well, he has already had Tommy John surgery.
But in 2017, which is the new time window. It used to be
between 6 and 8 years, and this would be 7 years.
It used to be 8 to 10, and now they say 6 to 8 because of the number of breaking pitches, how hard the breaking pitches are thrown, and reliance on spin rate and movement and overall velocity. So let's hope for the best and hope he's okay. And then on the 17th, we'll have possible playoff baseball to talk instead of tuna fishing.
That would be great if that were the case.
Next up, we are going to have a conversation with a wise football voice, Dominique Foxworth, host of the Dominique Foxworth Show on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, is going to talk some football with us on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.